always is the case. Beginning of Missions Month, Pastor Joel asked me to present to you what I would call the keynote message, which basically does a couple of things. It gives you, if you will, a stockholder's report in that the vast majority of you have given to missions, either in offerings or faith promises or both. And one of the things we try to accomplish at the beginning of Missions Month is to give you a little report as to what your missions giving has gone to accomplish. And you're not going to get a little report today, you're going to get a big report, all right? What your missions dollars is accomplishing. But the other thing we try to do at the beginning of Missions Month is to set the theme and begin to share what it is that God is wanting us to kind of focus on over the next 12 months, our missions year. And this, if you haven't figured that out, this year we're really trying to key into unreached people groups. And that's not just an emphasis for this year, but that's an emphasis that we've begun even years ago and are wanting to continue through the course of our missions years here. So that's what we're doing today, and I appreciate today the opportunity. Christine and I are very blessed to serve you in the area of missions as well as many other areas. And always at a time like this, we are here and very humbled to be able to come to this congregation with much appreciation over your faithfulness over this last year. Now, it's with a great sense of responsibility that I stand before you today. And hopefully, with the Lord's help, we'll represent well the heart of our pastor and leadership of this church for missions. And it's also my desire to represent the now over 110 CCCers that are involved with their sleeves rolled up in all of our seven different missions regional teams. You know, they're the ones that are interacting with all of the missionaries around the world, and they're the ones that are able to look at the budget and say, we can give you this for that and this for that. And so the result of your faith promise giving, they feel more than probably anybody, probably even more than me, because they're on the front lines helping the missionaries and distributing the finances that you so faithfully give. So I want to represent them well today. This is the one opportunity each year to stand before you and also represent the now 170 missionary families that are serving on the field this morning at home and around the world who are depending on our continued passion and our continued faithfulness to the cause of global missions, knowing that the fruit of this month, 4 weeks, the fruit of this month will establish and determine the impact of our missions outreach for the next 12 months. I also come to you today, as always, with a sense of responsibility to the 7 billion people who have never heard that there is a Christ with salvation in his name. And probably most of all, a sense of responsibility to Jesus himself, who died that they might hear of the saving work. But I have to say, I also stand before you today with an excitement that can almost not be contained over God's activity in the world and our participation in it. I want to read a text today in the second letter of the Corinthians, chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10. So if you would turn there. And I'm going to take a text, few words from the first half of, or second half of verse 15 and the first half of verse 16. So I'm going to begin in the middle of verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 10. Follow along if you would. Paul writing, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Now, the title of my message is up on the screen. The theme for this year's Missions Month and this year, Missions Year, is one word, beyond. The dictionary defines a number of ways the word beyond, but one of the definitions is this. It says the degree or condition where a specific action is impossible. Now, as if it's beyond us. Now, I like the Greek definition of the word beyond. It's the Greek word hooper. It means over and above, exceedingly above, or superabundant. And it strikes me today that that is our God. That our God is a beyond kind of God. He works in conditions and takes situations that are absolutely impossible and does something super abundant, exceedingly above, and over the top. Whenever we bring to God something that in our world seems impossible, He challenges our faith to trust Him to work through us, not just do it for us, but challenges our faith to trust Him to do through us something that's beyond the normal, beyond average, beyond the status quo or the typical, because our God is a beyond kind of God. You know, He brought His people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, the scripture says, and a burning bush that wasn't consumed, and plagues, and a pillar of fire, and a wall of water. He takes people away in chariots of fire, and floats axe heads, and crushes walls with people's shouts, and raises the dead, and turns water into wine. Folks, our God is a beyond kind of God. He brings salvation to the Jews, and then beyond that, to the Gentiles, and beyond that, to every nation, and every tribe, and every tongue, and even beyond that, to declare that whosoever will may come, and that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Our God, I'll say it again, is a beyond kind of God. Amen? I often get accused of being OCD or perfectionistic, always wanting things over the top. I have no idea where people get these ideas. You know, I don't want to win. I want to win with flair. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Okay, I'll give you an example. When I decorate for Christmas, I don't put up a tree. I put up 5 trees, all different sizes, on boxes at all different levels. And then I build around them a 1.5-foot bank of snow, like in the mall, all the way around in my living room. It's half the size of my living room. And then I put on it 6 different colors of lights and 1,000 lights of each color, one at a time. Put on all the red ones, turn them off. Put on all the blue ones, turn them off. Put on all the green ones, turn them off. And then I plug them all into a dimmer pack so that I can dim each color at different levels and have hundreds of different combinations of color. Over the top. And my favorite is the green all the way up and the red just enough juice to cause little berry looking lights to pop into the green. And then frost it up with a little white. Oh, awesome. We decided, okay, a couple years ago we were planning the Africa focus, right? And you know, people came to me and said, well, you know, we can put these little Africa, you know, figurines on tables and maybe cut some material for tablecloths out of Africa. And I said, no. No, that wall down there, it's 65 feet. I measured it. We got to put caging there. And we got to bring live animals from Africa all down there and light them with track lighting. Poof. And we did. And I can't tell you, boy, I had people coming up to me before that say, oh, I don't know about that floor, Pastor. Hey, number one, you couldn't have hurt that carpet with anything back then. So we put down material, or what was it, plastic. thick black plastic, and we put down 3/4 inch or 1/4 inch plywood, and we put down straw, and then we brought in the cages. And when everything was all said and done, and we took it all away and cleaned it all up, he was vacuuming in the floor, and I looked and I thought, you know, the part of the fellowship hall where people were eating looks like trash, but where the animals were was spotless. Go figure. Over the top. You know, I don't like to just do things good enough. When we book a missionary to a hotel, we don't just book a hotel room. We carry in there a gift bag with chocolates and snacks and a thank you card saying how much we appreciate everything that they're doing, and gifts for their kids who usually get overlooked. And then they come here and you cheer and applause and stand to your feet, and then we pray for their needs on Monday and give them a big check and take them to dinner again and thank them again. Over the top. Not so we look good, but because it pleases God to bless them. And I want to please God, and I want to bless them. Amen. Amen. Our God is a beyond kind of God. Now, that's not to suggest that he's frivolously wasteful or needlessly extravagant. But, and especially when it comes to the glory of Christ in the earth and the work, his work in the lives of the people he loves, the kingdom of God expects an attitude that does not settle for the mediocre. Oh, well, good enough, or a so what attitude. God does not take the hands of his billions of children, and as he's walking away, glance over his shoulder at the billions still lost and say, eh, oh well, good enough. Paul said, my hope is that your faith will grow so that our activity can expand and we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And my hope today and this month is that the Holy Spirit will blow upon the embers of our faith, causing it to grow even more, so that our ability as a great missions church will expand and allow us to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, to the billions who have yet to hear the name of Jesus. My hope is that we would embrace what might appear to us as an impossible task, impossible to invest time and energy in, or more focus or finances. Seems impossible to us, but to embrace that impossibility, trusting God to do through us something that is exceedingly above, super abundant, and over the top for his glory and the glory of his kingdom in the earth. And God has given us undeniable favor as a church. Once again, missions remain strong at CCC in many ways. Last year, you gave $715,000 to missions, a church of 900 to 1,000. Last time I checked, that was per capita giving of over $800, which is 12 times the national average. Yeah. He has given us undeniable favor. With the remainder of the month, missions month to go, to complete our budget year, Faith Promise Giving is coming in at 88%. Now, that's about 2% under last year, but thankfully 1% still over budget. The average Sunday missionary offering this past year, average. We had one offering that was $13,000 and one that was $12,000. The average, if you come in here and speak, and you get an average offering, Hey, I'd fly here from anywhere in the world for an average offering like this. The average Sunday missionary offering this past year, $8,659. In the first service, we had a missionary here that's coming in a month, and I thought, oh, do I really want to say this? In addition to our Sunday windows and services, so far our teams have hosted an additional 32 missionary guests at Christian Celebration Center. So collectively, you have blessed 42 missionaries with a cumulative gift of $76,000 this year. Praise God. Now, prayer continues to grow with an average of 100 people coming out for our monthly global prayer initiatives. We've invested during those times well over 1,200 hours of intercessory prayer on behalf of the nations. And that doesn't even count all of the individual prayer that we are praying over our missionaries and missions work. Our missions program is attracting a lot of attention. You know, about 6 months ago, I told all of our teams, get ready, because God is doing something very unique among us as a church. He's appearing to you, begin using this church as a model for missions. This year alone, I have spoken to pastors and missions pastors of 10 other churches around our state who have contacted us to find out about what we're doing. Now, understand, I'm not calling anybody. I don't have time to call people. But these are 10 pastors who heard about what we're doing and said, I've got to call them and find out what they're doing. Because every time a missionary comes to their church, we had a pastor tell me that on the west side of the state, he said he always wants his missions program to grow. So he asks every missionary that comes through, you know, what can I learn about missions? And every single missionary that's come through there this past year says, oh, you got to call CCC. Oh, you got to call CCC. So he called me and said, I guess I better call you. 10 different pastors, and one in a very large church in Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio, was driving up right after the first of the year to check us out. Now, hear me clearly. I don't say that to boast in what we're doing, but to recognize what the Lord is doing in our midst and to praise Him. He has given us an undeniable favor. But what excites me most about this is not that people are coming and checking us out, but because of God's favor, we have the responsibility of stewardship of a very unique opportunity. See, it's a great thing to be a strong missions church, but what is happening is that God is allowing us to reduplicate ourselves into other churches to increase their faith and effectiveness in missions, so that not only are we impacting missions directly as a church, but we are exponentially impacting missions through others. Praise the Lord. Undeniable favor. But you know, undeniable favor can be a hindrance. Well, you've heard it said, good is often the enemy of the best. Success can bring with it an attitude of sitting back, becoming complacent, resting on past or current successes. You know, three verses before our text, Paul says it's unwise to measure ourselves by ourselves. And then two verses after our text, Paul warns that it's not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Lauren Triplett, the former executive director of Assemblies of God World Missions, said this: you don't measure yourself against your success. You measure yourself against the unfinished task. Let's talk about the unfinished task. Jesus defined it. He said in Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Now the word nations, there's the Greek word ethne. It's the word from which we get ethnic group. So Jesus is saying that our Great Commission is not so much to reach geographical countries, although that's great, but it's beyond that. It's different than that. It's to reach every ethnic group. We usually think of nations in terms of geopolitical boundary lines, but in the purest sense, Jesus is talking about ethnic groups here. Now, there is an estimated 16,800 people groups in the world today, these ethnic groups. And of that 16,800, 7,262 are considered unreached. Definition of what it is to be an unreached people group comes to us from the Joshua Project. It says this: an unreached people is a people group among which there is no indigenous, that's within the people group, no indigenous community or believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources in order to evangelize that particular group. Now, the vast majority of these 7,000 plus unreached people groups have never once heard the gospel. Have never once heard the name of Jesus and have no means to. Because most of them have no Bibles in their language and no known believers living among them. In the 7,262 unreached people groups in the world today, it's representative of 2.9 billion people. That's 43% of the total global population that have never heard and have no means to hear. Now, in order to put this, these numbers are astronomical, folks. In order to put this into some kind of perspective, behind me and to the right and to the left are listed all 7,262 unreached people groups that exist today in our world. There they are. What you see is the unfinished task. Each one of these people groups are listed alphabetically by country. The country is in white. It's a little bit larger. It appears right in the line of the text. And then they're organized by region. The regions are printed in color at the bottom. Each country, or each listing, rather, contains the name of the people group, the religion that they are, and the population. And the top 100 groups, largest population groups, are printed in yellow. And the top 10 are also numbered. What Lorne Triplett was saying is that we shouldn't measure ourselves by ourselves or our successes. We should instead measure ourselves by the unfinished task. This is what needs to be finished. And I'll say this, this is not a perfect illustration, but it's the best one I've seen that captures the picture of what stands between us today and the consummation of all things in the end that will come. The Bible says this. Whoops, I must have missed it. Well, I guess I'll get to it. The largest unreached people groups are Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and ethnic religions. The largest people groups concentrated are in these countries listed. India, look at that. I tell you, when we were typing this, by the way, this was 3 intercessors, 5 typists, and 1 graphics design artist, okay, in 32 hours. India goes on forever. I don't know where they are here, probably over here. India just goes on and on and on. 2,000 unreached people groups just in India alone, 455 in China, 453 in Pakistan, 345 in Bangladesh, and 332 people groups in Nepal. Believe it or not, there are over 90 in the U.S. of A. You say, huh? Unreached people group? Yeah. Because if they don't know English and they're here as an ethnic population, they still don't have a Bible in their language. And they are still unreached, even though they drown in the midst of the ocean. Whew. Now, there are three banners to give you an idea for Africa up here. Three banners for Asia Pacific, two for Northern Asia, 11 for Eurasia. It's mind-boggling. This graphic shows the concentration of unreached people groups. It's in the red. Now, this isn't the lost. The lost is far larger than this. This is just the unreached people. And you can see, as always, the concentration there is in what we call the 10-40 window. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24:14 when he said, "And the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all ethnos," all ethnic groups. What's the next word? "And then the end will come." As I said earlier, this is the best representation I can give you of what stands between us today and the return of Christ. I say, "Oh, look at all those unreached people groups. I guess I can sin for another 40 years. Number one, you need to get saved. You have no idea. Through radio, media, ministry, you have no idea what and when and how. Nor should we be concerned about that, but we should be rolling up our sleeves and saying, "This is our focus. This is our focus." If you were to pray for one unreached people group every day, 365 days a week, and there are little apps, there's an app for that. There really is. And not miss one day, 365 different people groups, one a day, it would take you 20 years to pray for each one of these once. Standing in the way of the unfinished task are many challenges, a strong demonic opposition, as you might imagine. Governments who restrict or close access to the people. 83% of these people up here are in closed or restricted access countries. There's persecution. You know, more Christians have been martyred for their faith in the 20th century than all 19 centuries combined before that. In fact, every day today, 480 believers give their lives as martyrs because of the name of Jesus. When you lay your pillow on your bed tonight, 480 people from somewhere around the world will have died as a martyr for Christ. I just can't even fathom that. The imbalance of missionary resources is another challenge. You know, only 1 in 10 missionaries are working among unreached people groups today. And less than one penny on every dollar of missions dollars, not from our church, but as a whole, go to reach unreached people. You know, you would think that if this is the unfinished task, that we would be more intentional in our land to reach these unreached peoples. Well, there's reasons for that, because the people that are left here are the most resistant at times. And the work is slow and hard. I mean, you when you applaud and stand and cheer on missionaries that are here as our heroes, they are our heroes. But I'll tell you, the ones that are working with these people, it's hard work, dangerous work, slow work. You invest your whole life for a relationship that maybe one will turn to Jesus. And there's a great need for workers. To be sure, the unfinished task of reaching unreached people is daunting, and it seems impossible. I hope you feel the weight of that. However, don't ever forget that we serve a beyond kind of God. You say this is impossible. Right, don't you remember the definition of beyond? It's a situation that's impossible. But that's not the Greek definition. That's not God's definition. That's the world's definition of beyond. It's beyond our reach. It's impossible. But God's word says what seems to be impossible to us is possible with God. Amen. In fact, his word says, Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified, now to him by the action of his power that is at work in us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's what the word says. And I like one of the quotes up here. You know, it seems to be daunting. It seems to be impossible. But because we serve a God that's beyond, whenever we bring to him something that seems to be impossible, it's his intention to challenge our faith, to trust him. It's almost as if we say to him, this is impossible. And he says, I know it is. Will you trust me to do it through you? And we go into a crisis of belief. You know what I'm talking about? This is this way in life, but it's definitely this way in missions. And a man by the name of Bishop Philip Brooks said it this way. He said, don't pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Don't pray for tasks or to do not pray to tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your tasks. See, I'm here to declare to you today, this morning, that great progress, God-sized progress, is being made because a growing number of people are willing to let faith grow within them and commit to live beyond anything that seems to be their limitations and trusting in God's unlimited power, his unlimited ability. Now, I want you just to consider some of the things that God is accomplishing globally through his church. In the area of Bible translation, the New Testament's been translated to the mother tongue of over 87% of the entire population of the earth. Now, granted, we've got 2,000 more translations to go, but 87% now has the translation of the New Testament in their language. The Jesus film has had over 6.5 billion collective views. It's online in over 1,200 languages, and it covers 95% of the world's population. It's estimated that Christian radio broadcasts cover 91% of the population. That doesn't even count other media and the internet. Evangelical Christianity is growing. Some have said, well, you know, Muslims or Islam and Hinduism's growing faster than Christianity. Oh, if you take the figures of all the nominal Christians in the world, that's true because it brings the average down. But evangelical Christianity, that means denominations that declare and evangelize that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Evangelical Christianity around the globe is growing faster than Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. Islam is growing the highest at 1.9%. But look at evangelicals on the right, 2.6%. Folks, just in the Assemblies of God alone now, the Assemblies of God worldwide makes up 1% of the entire population of the world. More Muslims are getting saved today than at any time in the church, in history of the church. You know, in Cairo, we baptize somewhere between 6 and 15 Muslims that have turned to Christ a day. In spite of the fact that only 1% of missionaries are going to these people and only a penny on every dollar are going to reach these people, the harvest among these people outpace the norm by 100 to 1. See, God has unlimited ability. One Hope, used to be Book of Hope, is now in 125 countries, and it's approaching handing out the 1 billionth Book of Hope. In the Assemblies of God alone, a new believer is added somewhere in the world every 25 seconds. A church is planted in the Assemblies of God every 39 seconds. And a new minister is trained every 41 seconds. What does that mean? That means that during the 90 minutes that you'll sit in this service, 137 AG ministers have been trained somewhere in the world. And we've planted 139 churches somewhere in the world. And 216 people somewhere in the world have bowed their knee and gotten saved. In 90 minutes that we sit in here. Yes, amen. God is not limited by government restrictions. He's not limited by persecution or death. He's not limited by fear or finances. And neither are we. If we'll trust him, there's no limitation with prayer. And your faith promise dollars are having more of an impact than you realize. Because as you sacrifice and give in faith, God meets your faith with unlimited ability and accomplishes something through us that is super abundant, exceedingly above, and over the top beyond. And I can prove it to you this morning. As a wise man once said, or I wouldn't have told you. A few days ago, I had Christine send an email blast to all of our missionaries. Basically say, Pastor Pat's getting ready to prepare for the, you know, the opening of Missions Month. And wants you to just send a few bullet points of different things that have happened with you or your ministry that is a direct result of the faith promise giving at Christian Celebration Center. Within seconds, am I making this up? Within seconds, the emails from all over the world start coming in. Bam, 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 bam. I couldn't even sleep the first night because her iPhone wouldn't shut up. Bling, 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 bling. One after another, after another, after another. And in the first few days, now this just happened this week. In the first few days, we heard from 90 missionaries. This is the exact emails that we received within days. It took me 2 days to organize it. And finally, as they kept coming in, I told Christine, don't send me anymore because I've got to get this done. I mean, Sunday's coming. I've got to get this organized before Sunday. So they just started going in a file. Lord knows what's in them. Now, as I read some of these to you today, I want you to keep in mind a couple things. This is only half of our missionaries. This is 90 missionaries right here. We support 170. And this is only a few things, and almost all the missionaries said that. They sent this thing and said, oh, there's lots more than this, but here's just the first few that come to mind. So as I read this, say, are you going to read all that? Yeah. As I read this, keep in mind, this is a fraction of the reality. You understand what I'm saying? A fraction of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Now, second thing, keep in mind that many items on these lists have been accomplished through cash gifts of your faith promise. Other items on the list were accomplished because your faith promise kept the boots of the missionary on the ground day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. It wasn't necessarily an extra cash gift, but it was your support of the missionary to be there. Another thing to keep in mind is that not all of them were fully funded. That's the beauty of the Assemblies of God. Not all these things were fully funded by your faith promises. They contributed to these things, along with hundreds of other people in churches to get this done. Most missionaries provide statistics for the past year, but a few submitted statistics that were cumulative to date. But the thing I want you to understand is that everything in these emails were as a response to a very specific question. How has these people at CCC's Faith Promise Giving impacted your ministry and your country? Bing, 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 all come in. So I took them and I began to organize them because there's no way I can just, can't do that, right? Because I don't even want to be in church that long. Okay. So how do I do this? Well, I took them and organized them by topic. In other words, I looked through each one, and if it had to do with building a building, I put it in the build a building category. If it had to do with a salvation, I put it in the salvation category. If it had to do with planting a church, put it in the planting a church category. I said, dear God, I've still got 5 pages. Well, can I read you a few? You sure? Do you know what you're asking me? Now, let me just say this before I begin. At some point, your eyes are going to glaze over. Your brain is not going to be able to contain what I'm telling you. I'm going to warn you this ahead of time. When that happens, forget about trying. Just stop trying and just begin to praise God for how he has used your sacrificial giving. And just shake your head and say, dear God, I can't even comprehend this. That's part of the design of what I want to do right now. I want to overwhelm you because of the gratefulness on the hearts of our missionaries. I could take every one of these little snippets and spend about 2 minutes and tell you about it, and every one of them, you'd be on your feet cheering and praising God. Every one of them, because they're all amazing. Let me give you an example. Are you ready? Just the buildings that God has used our Faith Promise Giving around the world to do. Okay. Renovations. 4 roofs on a church damaged. The church is damaged in an earthquake in Peru. And a new roof for a teen challenge center in Lithuania. 2 cafes that are used as an outreach centers touching unreached people groups. One in Amman, Jordan, and one in Mannhausen, Austria. Numerous church buildings were renovated and tabernacles built, roofs and clinic buildings and classroom remodeled, all in Kenya. A community center opening in 1 month from today in Gurung Village that's located in the Himalayas in northern Nepal. We replaced windows in a Bible school in Argentina and helped with another in Chad. Plastered kindergarten rooms in a school in Russia, and finished student dorms in Vanuatu. We installed ceiling fans and insulation in a house church in the Philippines and did construction in the Dominican Republic. We helped renovate a Bible college in Spain, a church in England, 2 churches in Cuba, and a facility expansion in Italy. We helped recover 2 Assemblies of God church properties in Tunisia, which we had lost control of since 1956. New construction. Built 5 cabins at a youth camp in Lithuania. Helped with 1 church building on Mafia Island. You remember Pastor went there. Helped finish a church in Albania. Helped in the construction of 1 church building in Spain and 1 in Moldova. 2 in Nicaragua. One of which is already running 1,200 people. And 3 church buildings in Benin. 10 across the Congo. We physically went and built 1. 10 churches in Poland were built with some of your Faith Promise money. 72 in Honduras. And 100 tabernacles in Cameroon, Africa. Folks, your Faith Promise dollars matter. That's just the buildings. You tired yet? Okay. I really would have been bummed out if you would have said yes. Let's just talk about leadership training for a minute, okay? Because of our faith promise giving, our missionaries, now all this, you understand, all this just came in the last couple days. 15 student leaders were trained at Eastern Michigan University. We trained 8 discipleship group leaders at the U of M, and all 8 groups now have been launched. 6 inner city pastors were raised up, trained, and now pastor in U.S. Inner cities. More than 3,000 high school students in Midland have received specific training through Youth Alive to be missionaries on their campuses. Globally, CCC participated in training 4 youth leaders in South Africa, holding a women's leadership conference in India that was attended by women from all 28 states of India. Numerous Messianic Jews were trained in Israel to reach the unreached people groups around them, which is less than 1% Christian. Imagine that in Israel. Numbers of graduate students in China now pastoring churches in the Black Ink River province. We participated in training 50 other pastoral students. I wish you all could see the looks on your faces right now. 50 pastoral students in China and trained 34 house church leaders and hundreds of other Chinese to reach unreached people groups in many of the 23 provinces of China. Hundreds of pastors and leaders were trained in Latvia, Russia, Thailand, and Kenya. You helped train 6,000 pastors from 18 different countries who gathered to be trained in Argentina this year. We helped to provide thousands of theological books and sometimes entire libraries to teachers, students, Bible schools, and national leadership in Latin America and the Caribbean. Trained 120 Indonesian pastors. Leadership seminars for 2,300 pastors from 9 countries. 777 national leaders were trained how to reach unreached people groups in 12 countries and 5 islands of the world. Your faith promise matters. Now, I've got to tell you about the church plants. You want to know where you have been involved in planting churches with your money over this last year? It's just a couple. Just a couple of places. On the home front, you participated in 5 church plants here in Michigan. West Branch, Rose City, St. Helen, Detroit, and Warren, which is the 3rd largest city. 10 urban church plants across the U.S. that we participated in. 1 in St. Louis, Missouri, in a Bosnian community of 70,000, the largest Bosnian community in the world outside of Bosnia. Other church plants were in the inner city in East St. Louis and Washington Park, Illinois, Washington, D.C., Staten Island, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, Covington, Kentucky, New Orleans, Louisiana, Gary, Indiana, and Denver, Colorado, who had their first service this past Sunday, September 29th. 91 people, 17 kids, 6 salvations, and listen, 100% of their first offering as a brand new church went to help the disaster flood victims of their state. Wow! That's just the churches we've been involved in the United States this past year. Our participation in church plants abroad. You ready? You glossing over yet? Yep. 1 in Egypt. 1 on Mafia Island, Tanzania. 1 house church among the Hanai in China, now running 200 people, by the way. 2 church plants in another place in China. And preparation for 4 more, 1 church plant in Argentina, 2 of the first believers ever sharing Bible stories with 13 other Gurung villagers in the Himalayan mountains moving toward a church plant, 8 church plant teams in 8 countries of East Africa, an exploratory trip to Inner Mongolia to plant a church among those unreached people, 1 in the process on the border of Ethiopia and Somalia that's going to reach out to thousands of unreached people groups. We planted a church in Bristol, England, who had their first service September 8th, 30 people in attendance. We planted a church in Ecuador, Haiti, Macedonia, Moldova, 3 in Poland, 5 house churches in India, 6 church planting teams in Indonesia, 6 church plants in Spain. 1 is already running 500 on their 4th daughter church and is the top missions giving church in Spain. 7 churches in the Congo with a combined attendance of 4,000, dozens of church plants in Russia, Latvia, 50 in Argentina, and 140 in Benin, and numerous house churches in Cuba with hundreds being saved. That's just our church planting. I'm just telling you what I was told. This is what they told us. Okay, let me just read the last few. I have a whole page. Let me just read the last few when it comes to ministry to children and youth. Okay, this is the last 10% of the list. We helped to provide kids camps in Russia and ministered to 800 kids and youth at a camp in Lithuania. 6 kids camps in Peru and ministry to 38 children in a Dadawa village in northern Nepal. We sent Cuban youth to a youth convention, distributed 250 backpacks to school children in Inner Mongolia, helped provide food and clothing for and a playground for kids at a school for the visually impaired in Tanzania, helped to feed and educate 220 kids every week in Honduras, and supplied 500 kids uniforms for school in Nicaragua, sent school supplies for our Armenian kindergarten in the country of Georgia, and daily lunch and transportation needs to over 1,000 students in Belize. Helped to establish 96 centers to feed and disciple more than 9,000 children in Nicaragua, rescued hundreds of orphans and street kids in Kenya, saved 12 children from being abandoned in Romania, rescued 25 girls out of prostitution in the Congo, and 138 widows in Benin kept their children because they were given hope and a skill to support themselves. 198 young girls, also from Benin, were rescued from trafficking and given job skills, and 200 abandoned and terminally ill children were ministered to in 2 hospitals in Bucharest, Romania. Friends, your faith promise dollars matter. Okay, salvations. Hey, I've got 5 more minutes. Salvations. Do you want to know the salvations you've had a part in? I could quit here. 8 Japanese students received Christ at the U of M in Ann Arbor. 17 new converts baptized at the Warren Church plant. 200 salvations reported through Family Life Radio. Convoy of Hope outreaches in 19 cities this year alone. Report 1,634 people have accepted Christ. Massive outreach in Grand Rapids last summer documents 4,000 signed decision cards. Through the youth ministry of Youth Alive in schools and evening rallies, right here in Michigan, Kurt reports 27,000 high school students from across this state have chosen to live for Jesus Christ. And as exciting as 27,000 students is, this next one leapt off of the email. It may seem insignificant, but when I read it, I almost broke down and cried. After reading all of these thousands, I read this. A bus driver accepted Jesus in Mexico. Yes! Because God cares just as much for that one bus driver, I don't even know his name, but we'll meet him someday. In a 6-week gospel outreach in Nepal resulted in 9 households now showing interest and 1 man completely leaving Hinduism. Evangelistic ministry in Uganda has yielded many leaving animism. Church plant in Macedonia, 2 Muslims are converted and 1 was baptized just last Thursday. In a recent outreach to the UK, 4 teens and 1 Buddhist man has come to Christ, and several conversions are reported in Azerbaijan as Muslims are responding to dreams and visions. On a campus in Japan, 2 students and 1 alumni has accepted Christ. 20 kids got saved at a children's outreach in Uruguay. CCC bought the equipment for the outreach. Weekly salvations are reported from church plants in Latvia and Russia. Two church plants in Spain produced 700 new believers and hundreds more through street ministry. One ministry trip to 10 Chinese villages yielded 30 decisions. One was a 98-year-old grandpa. Hundreds of children are saved at the Children's Dream Center in Cebu, Philippines, and hundreds more have come to Christ through the multiple house churches in Cuba. Outreaches to 6,500 people in the Philippines, Japan, Mexico have yielded 413 decisions to Christ, one missionary wrote. 7,600 heard the gospel in the streets of Peru in an outreach that happened just a couple of months ago with 700 decisions for Christ. Multiple outreaches in Colombia have yielded hundreds of decisions for Christ. Youth ministry in South Africa, which we just established, reports 1,000 decisions already. 95 were converted in Belize, 2,500 were saved in Europe through Convoy of Hope outreaches, and in an open-air crusade in Cuba, three crusades yielded an attendance of 17,000 and recorded over 15,000 decisions for Christ. Folks, your faith promise dollars matter. Oh, where to quit? You know, some things didn't fit into categories. Some things were just miscellaneous little things. But I think you might care about some of these things. You know, we gave airline tickets for a stranded missionary couple to get back in their country of their service. Repaired vehicles for a home missionary in Ann Arbor. Emergency funds to get a sick missionary back to the States for treatment. Helped with visa costs for two Arabic speaking church planters and bought Arabic Bibles for new believers in Casablanca, Morocco. Helped fund a train station outreach that happens every Friday night in Argentina to the homeless and suicidal. Bought a commercial oven for a pastor's family in Nicaragua so they could sell bread and stay in the remote area and continue to witness to unreached people there. Bought 80 gallons of fuel to get an outreach team to a remote unreached people group in Uruguay. Get this. Established a Celebrate Recovery group that's been operating for the last 8 months in China. Equipment for a community center in India and replaced some missionary's stolen computer. Financed a translation ministry to the deaf in Ireland. Lights and a platform and a pulpit for a church in Spain. Two computers for a Bible college in Romania. Two motorbikes we bought this year for two missionaries working among unreached people groups so they could get up in the mountains. One was our own Kerry Woods in Nepal. And another missionary in Laos. We financially helped a widow whose pastor husband was shot by extortionists, leaving her and her seven children behind. Your faith promise dollars matter. And I want to close by just talking a little bit about how we've been reaching these unreached people groups. So these 94 people that responded, 45% of them have specific intentional outreach to these unreached people groups that stand up here on this in this front. We have had a touch in unreached people groups. You know, this looks massive. But we have had a touch this year in unreached people groups in the following countries. Nepal, India, Israel, Arab Peninsula, China, Egypt, Tunisia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Kyrgyzstan, Turkey, Nicaragua, Indonesia, Tanzania, Uruguay, Congo, the Philippines, Japan, Kenya, Jordan, Cuba, Angola, Namibia, Poland, Inner Mongolia, Macedonia, Spain, Austria, Malaysia, Ghana, Burundi, Sudan, Pakistan, Netherlands, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Argentina, El Salvador, and the U.S. of A. In fact, you know, being OCD that I am, I want to go pick this off of here, and so did 14 other people. I see them keep coming up here and go, should we remove this? Don't touch that! Because this little sticky note right here is under the word Sarahawi. A Sarahawi Unreached People Group is where today, just an hour or so ago, one of our own, Mackenzie Podboy, jumped on a plane and headed for a two-year ministry trip to this people group right here in Algeria. Yes. One of our missionaries wrote, and I'll close with this. One of our missionaries wrote that our faith promise dollars enabled him recently to drive up to a remote area in the northwest corner of Namibia to do an open-air outreach in the city of, I don't know if I can say it, Opuo. Now listen carefully. The city of Opuo means the end. As in the end of the world. A crowd gathered, and one of the unreached people groups that were present were the Ovathembas. Their name means the forgotten ones. He goes on to write, you see, they're nomadic, and they traveled between Angola and Namibia when the countries were divided up years ago, and weren't considered Namibians and weren't considered Angolans, and so they were poor and nobody wanted them. And so they became Ovathembas, the forgotten ones. The missionary began to preach, to teach about Jesus. And the whole group of them gave their life to Jesus Christ. And here's how he closes his email to you. Thank you, CCC, for supporting us. Thank you for your monthly support that allows us to reach out like that. For those of you who have sacrificed to fill up the gas tank of this missionary so he was able to go to the end and share the gospel with the forgotten ones. I thank you, he said, and Jesus thanks you. And folks, as we consider the unfinished task, it is a diminishing task. It's diminishing. In AD 100, there were 360 unbelievers to every one committed Christian. In 1970, that's been reduced to only 13. And in 2010, it's now down to 7. This looks massive, but God is able. How many of you here? Yes, amen. Praise God. If you were here and you were born in 1970 or later, stand to your feet right now. 1970 or later. And come on up here. Come on. Yeah, right there. Yeah, right there. Right there. I want you to take this, and I want you just to stand, turn around, just hold it in your hands, turn and face everybody. Right over here. Take this one. Stand and hold it, turn around. Those of you that are standing, just in your lifetime, the unfinished task has gone from this to this. May in the lifetime of our children, we see it go from this to this. Give them a hand. You can be seated. Would you put these down? Now this is not a time. Be seated. This is not a time to let up, is it? I'm grateful for the 139 churches that have been planted and 216 people that have come to Jesus during the 90 minutes of this service. But let's not forget that there were 10,000 that slipped into eternity during the same 90 minutes of this service. Thank God that 216 of them opened their eyes in the kingdom. But I stand before you today on behalf of the other 9,800 who didn't. It was Carl Henry that said, "The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time." Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the areas beyond. Because God is a beyond kind of God. Will we be a good missions church? Or will we be, with God's help, a beyond missions church? Trusting in His unlimited ability to accomplish something through us, through you, that is super abundant, exceedingly above, and over the top beyond. Now, we've heard clearly last Sunday, we don't twist arms at CCC. We communicate the need and we ask. Today, I've done my best to communicate the need. And I'm asking. I'm asking that every one of us over the next 3 weeks pray about our faith promise this year. Not what we can do, but what we can trust God to do through us to the lost. And in the words of one of our missionaries, "I thank you. And Jesus thanks you." Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you fully aware that in our weakness, even the weakness of our strong giving, even in the weakness of our praying, that apart from you, we accomplish nothing. But with you, even the task that seems absolutely impossible and daunting and overwhelming, you can use us to make an impact all around the world, from the inner cities of America to the Himalayan mountain villages. You can use us. And Lord, at this beginning of Missions Month, we tell you, we will seek you. We will ask you. We will consult with you, Holy Spirit, as to how you want to use each one of our families. And together, we'll make a difference as you blow through what we do and touch the world that you've died to save. If you believe that, would you say amen? Stand, if you would, please, and just give glory to the Lord for all that He's accomplished this year all over the world. Do that. Just thank the Lord. Just praise the Lord today. Oh, we give you glory. Lord, we thank you for the lost. We thank you for the churches. We thank you, Lord God, for the unreached people that are being touched. Lord, we thank you and bless you, God. We glorify you, Jesus. Be all glory and honor and praise. Be all glory and honor and praise. Now to Him who is able to do it exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. To Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, to you, Lord, be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet each other. God bless you. Love you. Thanks.